This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 22, 2020. The Solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, or Christ the King, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are the words that we long to hear from the mouth of our Savior when we stand before him, when we get to the judgment. Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It disturbs me occasionally that so many Christians look at this concept of the kingdom of God and it is an abstraction for them. For one thing, in our society, kings, an individual who is sovereign just because of who he is, what his family may be, who has ultimate sway, we're disconnected with that. But we shouldn't be, because that is our lot with our Lord Jesus Christ. We do have to look back in the day when there were kings and there were kingdoms, when they had absolute sway, and you did everything that they said because they were the king or the queen and they said it. This is a kingdom where we have a sovereign. Our kingdom, even back in the day, kingdoms were limited by geography. There was a territorial boundary to the kingdom. You were a king in this kingdom, but you weren't king when you crossed over the line in somebody else's kingdom. And for us, it is much more than that. Our kingdom is not of this world. It is not territorial. It doesn't have anything to do with where you live, where you go to church. It has to do with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, this is why it befuddles me why people are so... I have read book after book after book, some of them tomes, about what the kingdom is. The kingdom is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the bottom line. And to be a subject of that kingdom is to be in union with him. That's all there is to it. It is that simple. The kingdom is Jesus Christ. It's not territorial. It's not something that we get after we die, like Jesus isn't king right now. We have to appreciate that. It's something that we have right here and now by virtue of our baptism, is being subjects of the king, being in union with Jesus Christ. This is a conjectural. This is the way Jesus presents it. Even before Jesus said it himself, his precursor, John the Baptist. What does John the Baptist say? He doesn't say, repent, for the Messiah has come. Repent, for Jesus is here. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ is that kingdom of heaven. When Jesus is casting out demons, the Pharisee, he cast them out by the power of Beelzebub. Jesus goes through this dissertation, but at the end of the day, he says, if I cast them out by the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Claiming to be that kingdom. When the thief on the cross looks at our Lord Jesus Christ and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingly power. Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, at the end of times, you'll get that. Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus Christ is the kingdom. After his resurrection, he specifically, all authority in heaven and on earth, not will be given to me, but has been given to me. Jesus Christ has been King and King of Lords since the Father, for all eternity, because he is the eternal begotten Son of God. He is what God has placed for us to be a stability factor, not in this world only, but in the next. But it ought to apply in this world also. Jesus Christ is our stability. Jesus Christ is that anchor point. This is what we need to understand and appreciate. That Jesus Christ is the rock, that cornerstone, where if we are in union with him, we have to fear nothing. It doesn't mean we don't have to deal with it, but it means that we don't fear it because we have an anchor point, our Lord Jesus Christ. I've had several discussions with several people in groups and individually about our current state of affairs in this country with the election. This makes my point. 4 years ago, one side was gloating, the other side was lamenting. 4 years later, vice versa. That's the way it goes, because why? People are involved, and they make decisions based on emotion, based on this, based on that. Who cares? Whatever. It's fleeting. It's fluid. That's not the way it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we just need to be subject to that whole concept that he is immutable. He doesn't change. Within there is no variable changing. Because when we understand that, and when we appreciate that, and when it's presented like that to us, then it makes it much easier to deal with stuff in this world, particularly when it comes to political things. We're the people of God. We are not supposed to be all that attentive. As a matter of fact, we were never supposed to have human rulers. Read the Old Testament. The people of God had a theocracy. And God didn't personally live among them as a king. He gave them the law. He gave them his word. Do this, you'll be blessed. And that was good. Okay, we just live according to those rules. Seems pretty easy, doesn't it? Obviously not. We want a king. Priest Samuel, no, you don't want a king. Oh yeah, we want a king. No, you don't. He will draft your sons and put them in military service. He will press your daughters into service and serving in the palace, and he will tax you, and you will have nothing to say about it because he's the king. Oh, no, we want one. Why? Because it'll be better for us. No. Why? Because we want to be like everybody else. We don't want to live our lives in this world being like everybody else. Everybody else has all been out of shape about this whole thing. Oh, woe is me. For 4 years, I have to deal with big deal. All right, 4 years, 8 years, whatever. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about the eternal Son of God. You know, I'm not saying to ignore it. I'm not saying that we roll over for this or roll over that. What I'm saying is keep your priorities straight. Anchor your feet in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he has claimed to be the kingdom. It's not an abstraction. It's him. Okay, so we need to appreciate that. And the appreciation comes by understanding who he is as king. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not come to draft us into service, to carry arms for him and advance his kingdom by violence in this world. St. Augustine puts it in a nutshell. St. Augustine says he came to rule souls, to care for their eternal interests, to lead those who believe in him and love him into the kingdom of heaven. And I would say, take note, he doesn't say to lead everybody into the kingdom of heaven. It says to lead those who believe in him and love him. How do we manifest that belief and love in our Lord Jesus Christ? By being subject to him. And that means doing what he says, not what we like. Okay? There are so many Catholics in our day and age who approach their faith like it's a salad bar. Oh, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. That's really great. No, not that. And no, back in the day when there was a king and he said something, if you looked at him and said, I don't like what you said over there, he'll take your head off your shoulders, literally. That's not near as bad as being cast out of the kingdom of heaven. That was what the gospel was today. The sheep and the goats. And this is an interesting thing to look at with that whole pronouncement of judgment. And, you know, little footnote for your friends who aren't Catholic, who bought into the Martin Luther heresy, arch heresy of faith alone. In that judgment, when our Lord Jesus Christ is going through the litany of things that they didn't do and did do, he doesn't mention faith one time. All right? Faith that is just mouthed is an abstraction. It is a theory. There is no reality, no objectivity to it. We have to act like we truly believe and do what our Lord says in every aspect of our life. You don't buy into this stuff. Well, the church used to teach that. The church never used to teach anything. It teaches something, and it will build on that teaching. If there looks like there's a disconnect, start paying close attention. That's not the way the church works. It's not the way the Holy Spirit works. It doesn't never contradicts himself. So we need to appreciate that. We need to be good subjects. We need to be practical subjects of our Lord. We need to live it. So I'm always harping on that practical Catholicism. Because practical Catholicism proves to our Lord Jesus Christ that we are truly subject to him. This is what he demands of us. And there are penalties if we don't. We see that from the gospel. But it's a really interesting thing to look at this. And I'll tie this up with the way our Lord presents this. It was God's plan that every one of us, every creature on the face of this planet, human beings, would go to the kingdom of God. Because when he looks at those who have been worthy subjects, he says, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, that was what God wanted. He wanted everyone to be in his kingdom. But after the fall, then all bets are off. You want to use your free will? Now, prove to me. Prove to me whether you're worthy, whether you're a true subject of mine or not. Or do you treat me like a salad bar? Our Lord prepared a place for those who love him from all eternity. He doesn't say that same thing to those who are condemned. He says to them, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That wasn't meant for us. He doesn't want us to go to hell. He doesn't cast us into hell. They cast themselves into that pit that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for them. He says the kingdom of heaven was prepared for us. But after the fall, we just have to prove things to him. That is our Catholic faith now, is proving to him. That I despise when I don't have to prove anything to anybody. Gospel, obviously that's not the case. We do prove to God whether we're worthy subjects or not. But we want to inherit that kingdom that was prepared for us for all eternity. We really kind of see this manifest today in what's going to happen now. We had some confirmations to go. You know, our prayer today at the beginning of the Mass was that all would be subject to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our subjection to our Lord Jesus Christ is ongoing. It's part of that growth in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we should subject ourselves more and more to his will. We should, as we live life and we see when we don't subject ourselves to his will, how bad we can mess things up. And then to be proven that when we do subject ourselves to his will, everything works out pretty well. I mean, we don't have any problems at all. It means we deal with them completely different. This is the beauty of the whole thing. But in that prayer, that the whole world would subject itself. We see, because Jesus Christ is the kingdom, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And we see the Holy Spirit work in this world, where he continues to draw souls to himself. It doesn't matter if you're born and raised in a Catholic family. There is a time in your life where it becomes real for you. There's got to be a time in your life when it's just, yeah, I've gone to Mass for the past 30 years. Then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? This is real. I want to go to Mass more often. I want to do this. I want to do that. That's growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. That is being more and more subject to him. And for those who are outside of the Catholic Church, that is even more dramatic. You see people moved by the Holy Spirit to, I mean, really, you think about it, to uproot themselves from the faith traditions in which they've been raised because they want to subject themselves completely to our Lord Jesus Christ and to embrace him in the fullness of his Catholic Church, his church, the one that he established on the back of Peter. You are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Every other one that claims that name is not his church. All right? This is the reality of things. But when we see the Holy Spirit actually working objectively in this world, then it's overwhelming to us. Everything I've said, that the kingdom isn't an abstraction. It is objective. It is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we see him in his Holy Spirit actually work and draw people continually, particularly in this day and age, anybody, I always say, come in my office, I want to be a Catholic. Why? You know? I don't mean that like, you know, I know why, but the why is for me. Like, you know, theoretically, yeah, it sounds great, but look, it's a hot mess. No, I want to be a Catholic. That's the Holy Spirit. This is what you need to appreciate. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.